tell me. Okay, while I was sitting here, actually, all off and on this week, I've been looking at this sign of Capricorn. Where's my doohickey? I know for those that are listening to this CD, you can't see what I'm doing. But we have a picture of Capricorn, and it the constellations in it, and that's what I'm pointing to. Capricorn is a seagoat. Actually, this fishtail comes from way back over here in Pisces. First time we see the fishes in the constellations in the age of Pisces. Remember, that's where the woman's change and the church has her change, so to speak. That divine feminine had no say. And at the beginning, 1900, whatever it was, woman was able to vote and all that stuff. So those chains were getting broken. He represents Christ coming to her rescue, as you can see. The fish represent a dualistic hearing. We still see that going on. People want to hear a little bit, but they don't want to hear the whole thing. They don't want to hear the good. They're so used to hearing the bad, or vice versa. So it's not divided well. But anyway, so one in this age just keeps swimming upward or spiraling upward. But the other one just goes along. If you look here, it swims right along this elliptical plane and never leaves it. Just goes along with whatever the world says. Lives its life that way. But God's always had a body, even if minute, that were wanting to learn more and spiral upward in their life instead of just listening to the norm. Okay. And then we get into the age of Aquarius. And it's no longer the two fish. It's one kind of hearing. And this produces a people that are all about flow. It's like us here in our little dealings and tryings. We're all about the flow. We just want what the spirit wants. We're not about the show. Of course, the show's nice if you like the stage, but the stage can scare me. And sometimes I like it. Anyway. So this fish, those two fish, in this age become one, but they're only after one thing, and that's the flow of what's going on, the spirit. And that's beautiful to me. Everything in Aquarius is a positive sign. Pegasus speaks of a winged horse that gets you there. It's a beautiful story, even in the myth to me. And Cyanus, the swan, is called the blesser returning. It's not dying, it's ascending. Although in here it doesn't look that way. And then, the beauty of this is, what comes out of this fish? Well, look at this. The sacrificial goat. Beautiful. That's a beautiful story if you know your scripture, because it lays all kind of foundation for that goat, the scapegoat. Jesus Christ was our scapegoat. He was our living and is that living sacrifice, and so it is with his body. There are living, moving sacrifice. So I thought that was beautiful. But this morning, and I had seen it somewhere this week, there's another kind of fish, a dolphin. I don't know a whole lot about them, but they're called man's friend at sea, I hear. It's all kinds of folklore about dolphins helping people and all that stuff. So this is an ascended kind of fish that's moving out of this, they call it the seagoat. I really like that name. And of course, he's taken the error from Sagittarius instead of pointing it at a person. Because Sagittarius, if you're around one, Helen's a Sagittarius, and Jim Minor, if you won't be around them long, they have a point to make, and they'll shoot an arrow at you. They have a specific point. Just be with them a few minutes. And they're easy to detect because they got a quiver full of them. But in the sea goat, he's only concerned about that going to a higher power, not so much at the person, but at the spirit that they come from. Okay? And that's beautiful. So I wanted y'all to see that. What finally comes out of this fish's tail into the sacrificial goat, which will lay down his life for others. Period. We just become a natural bridge for somebody else to walk on. That's awesome. I'm not so sure we're so willing sometimes. But we do it because it gets us there. And then to rise into the great eagle. You know the story that Bill Britton told over and over about the eagle in a chicken coop. He said if you put an eagle in a chicken coop, it'll look up all the time because it knows it's not a chicken. And it wants to get above the situation and not stay with the chickens picking what they pick. Anyway.
Scratching in the dirt.
Yeah. Saying I'm just a peon or whatever. And the other point I want us to remember is this setting. It speaks of the sword. I taught that last week. Whenever was it last week we came together? Anyway, that has been on my mind. Every man is supposed to have a sword. And I'm going to do a little studying on it. But it should be two-edged, rightly dividing. Within me, that means it gets into my shoe leather. I put it into my everyday life, not just talking about it. And it cuts both ways. So you got to know how to use that sword. I was reading, I guess it was John Castleman, and usually I really agree with what he says. He is a great speaker and teacher. And I like that. But he got into the Shulamite. I have an understanding on her. She says, I'm black, but I'm comely. So that tells me she's looking at the thing from inside and seeing the black goat's hair in her life, her selfishness, her humanity, and all of that. She said, yes, I see myself. I see all those little hairy problems that are covering me up. I see all the negatives. But this, I can divide it. I know who I am. So those things, no wonder the daughters of Jerusalem were so jealous of her. Because she could see both ways. She understood she was a soul, a divine feminine, that she was both. My goodness, folks, we need to find a balance. So much. Everything is just not pie in the sky. Lordy mercy, we live life, we get up, we go through disappointments. How would we know what being unwounded is if we weren't wounded? You have to find both to walk this tight wire or high wire. Anyway, so this word is going to be a big word this year in spiritual things and natural things. I'm not a news person, but My husband is. So we watch the news sometimes. Anyway, he watches news every day. But this morning I watched the news with him. And there was a thief come in a store and stole an old lady's purse. Well, just the people in the store surrounded him and got that purse back. Do you see the balance there that's coming? There is going to come a balance. Because it is. Did we ever need one? We need it today. And that will bring a balance in teaching. My goodness. Don't tell people everything is cool. Let them have their experience. I mean, tell them about the pitfalls. But they get to make their own mistakes and be who they are. That's what makes us who we are. It's a no-brainer to me. And I'm so tired of people telling me, oh, everything is wonderful and okay. And it is. God sees all. However, you're living in this life. And he wants you to experience these things. It makes you uniquely who you are. To me, that's awesome. But telling me that none of that is, give me a break. I heard a man say that God didn't create evil. The scripture clearly says he created evil. And the waster to destroy. Get it right. Come on. He doesn't like, the evil is not his thing for us to pursue, but he still allows us to be who we are. He lets us miss the mark. Otherwise, we'd just be puppets. So some of this new stuff is coming around. I'm going, forget it. Come on. Tell me about the bad stuff, too, here in the road. Tell me about the good stuff and the bad stuff, both. I don't think God is a puppet that you can just pick out of your pocket all the time. He wants to have your consciousness of where you are. When Karen was sharing her story, she brought to her mind what she felt she needed to do. And that's beautiful, because she knew what to say. Here, I'm helpless, Father. In this place, I'm helpless. If you don't do something, I'm in big trouble, man. And the help was already on its way, because a knock comes on the door while she's praying. I see things every day that could be anything but coincidental in my life. You can't leave spirit out of it. And he likes to hear, hey, thank you. Are you to tell your story because it helps somebody else? Now, that don't mean every time you're in an ice storm that God's going to send somebody to knock on the door, because he's not. But sometimes he does, in these pinches. Johnny and I had a time together the other evening and went out to eat. And I thought, I sure don't want to have to walk. Drove up in front of Joe's Crab Shack, right to the front door. Had a parking place. You can't make it up. I didn't say anything to him. But I was going, oh, hallelujah, I don't have to walk. And he'll pick me up. I don't mean that, but he was just right there for me.
I think when we get in his flow, it is. We get in his flow.
Well, we understand what everything's for.
What is that flow?
Yeah. We understand what the pain is for. Or him, us feeling that he's not there. Do you think Jesus Christ ever felt that way? Of course. On his cross, when he walked, nobody understood him. Really. He didn't have an entourage around him, though I think he did from afar. But his 12 disciples really didn't understand the depth of him. So he knows what it's like. He's been here, done that. He's got all the t-shirts you want. He'll give them to you. You know. Anyway.
All t-shirts.
Yeah, it is. I was kind of pondering things before I went to sleep last night. And, well, night before last, while we were in the mountains, I had an experience that I want to share with you. I woke up, I don't know what time it was, 2:45, I think. And my leg was cramping and bothering me, so I just laid there and pondered for a while, you know, before I got up and took anything. And I didn't want to get up and have two kind of pills in my little hickey-doo that I carry with me. And I couldn't see good because the light was dark. And I didn't want to take the wrong thing because it wouldn't be good. So I knew I'd have to get up, go to the bathroom and look at the light and see which pill to take. So I laid there for a long time. And I got to thinking about, you know, I was thinking about Rokas, and I wondered, you know, you wonder what's moving on and what's going on in that realm when you just step over there. Well, this guy knew people so intimately, spiritually speaking, is what I mean, that he could tap into your heart, so to speak. So I wondered, brother, you know, what's going on with you over there? Well, I think he went to take to some of our stuff before the throne, because he was a light being about us, for us. He had the capability of breaking through some darknesses. But anyway, while I was thinking on that, I began to kind of drift. You know, I wasn't asleep. And I could feel this awesome presence in our room. And I knew right away, I mean, you can smell God. I could smell him coming down the road, you know. And I could feel, when I could feel this presence, I knew that it was corporate, which is a little unusual. I knew that it was not just the Jesus presence that I know so well, but it was much more than that. And someone whispered to me, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." So I just laid there and kind of basked in that, and I said, "Yeah, that's great. Be wonderful. I could use some healing." Anyway, the covers began to move, and I've experienced this lots of times. So I knew it was the angels dealing with me. You know, I could feel them all in the room. I almost was scared to open my eyes because I knew they'd all be everywhere, you know, an entourage. Anyway, I held that feeling, and it takes me a while to get going most mornings, and it did that morning as well, but I remembered the experience, and it was really strong. So I just haven't had the pain that I did have. I'm better. Now, I still want to rest some. Anyway, last night, I had a long dream. I woke up last night. I don't know what it is about 2:45 or 3 o'clock, but that's when God wants to talk to me. He don't like it if I'm up or about, I don't think. But anyway, in the dream, well, in reality, I set my phone to wake me up in case. That hardly ever happens if I have to get up, but just in case I was going to oversleep, I like to be up and have my mind in that flow I'm talking about. Before I present myself down here, I want it to be right. I start with myself during the week, as far as my mentalities and attitudes, trying to keep them adjusted in the right place. So anyway, this morning, I looked at the clock when I woke up, and I must have went right back to sleep, because this is what I dreamed. I dreamed there wasn't even a knock on my bedroom door. And Shelby come to my bedside saying, "Connie, get up." And when I got up, I was in a hurry because I didn't want to wake him up. I knew he had to go to work. This is how reality sets in. But I followed her out of the room, and my living room was probably 5 times the size it is now. There was nowhere there wasn't a place to sit down or lay down. Couches everywhere. And people all over the place. Shelby was so excited. She said, "We've been having a meeting. We've got to have you here to be part of this." But all I could think in the back of my mind, if you don't quieten down, you're going to wake up Johnny as to get up and go to work at Walmart. In my mind, that's what I was thinking. And they were just into a meeting almost. And I kept, the thing that I remember was I kept trying to get them to settle down because they were so excited. I mean, we're not making sense running around. And I looked, and Bruce, which is the older son, definite type there, was in a room above the deck, which there ain't, standing in a window. And he was a big feller in the dream. Now, in the dream, I didn't think it was unusual, but I did after I got up and thought about it. And let's see, there was Terry and Shelby and people that, like, I've known in my life, you know, but I can't name who they were. The significant one was my Rachel. She was so happy. I mean, she was just beyond happiness. And her hair was so pretty. When she was growing up, she had beautiful hair, has beautiful hair because she got a lot of it. And she modeled for that. Well, I took her to Westtown. She modeled, and the lady, head of the modeling thing, picked her out for her hair. She said, "I want her to model because of her hair." Anyway, she did a little modeling, and that all fell through. But in the dream, her hair in the middle of the night was perfect. Perfect, and so much of it, so clean. And she was happy. Let's see if I can read. Get back to where I was. I'm telling you, they were in a commotion and they were excited. That was the big thing. And I was going, shh. Well, I looked, and Bruce was outside the house. Now, I think this, him being outside the house, represents Christ being within and without. And he was like scaling a wall. And I thought, what in the world is he up to out there? Because this house was here, but it was huge. And at the same time, I looked, and my sister Patsy was here. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. And that's what kept boggling my brain, because we don't have meetings at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I said, "Patsy, what are you doing here?" She said, "We know your neighbors across the street. And they lost their second infant tonight. That's the realm she's in. Okay, she's Baptist. And I came to comfort the family. So listen to all these types in that dream. Anyway, the house is full of people. So let's see if I can get to anything that I'm missing. I kept saying to him, "What in the world are you doing here at this hour?" Well, they wanted to worship. They wanted to be together. They wanted fellowship, whomever all these represented. And that's what the word I said to them was, "What in the world are you doing here?" And, of course, I told you that part. When I did get up this morning, listen to this. Came in the kitchen, and there stood Bruce. Out of my mouth came, "Son, what in the world are you doing up at this hour?" And I thought, oh my God, I just dreamed all this stuff. And the words that kept standing out to me is, "What in the world are you guys doing here at this hour?" And I said, "Son, what in the world are you doing up?" And he said, "Mom, what are you doing up?" I said, "Well, I get up every Sunday morning." Anyway, anyway, that's main part of the dream, and I wanted to tell you to encourage you, because that was so excitable, and that's the second time I dreamed somebody came to our bedroom like that. The first time I dreamed it was Rokas. And he came in our bedroom, and he looked so different. He said, "I'm going to teach you a new language," and he whispered it in my ear, and I would repeat the language, you know. Anyway, that's our big encouragement for today. So I've got the dream written down, and we will see what comes of the dream. I know we're dealing with a lot of people. First thing I thought this morning is, "Lord Jesus, you're going to give me some energy if I'm going to deal with all these people." Okay. I don't know where to put my stuff. Yes. That won't work. Psalms 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." The heavens that we see, these celestial heavens, do declare a story. It's a circular story, and it never ends. There's no end to that story. If you study the constellations at all, you'll see an unfolding saga in every constellation that speaks of Jesus Christ. And your story is written there. We have a birth in order, and we have a destiny order. And that's plain to me, too. I guess it's not plain to everybody, but that's really plain to me. There is also a destiny order, but we're walking toward that. It's an unfolding every moment story. That's why our lives are so important with each other. Scripture says, "And the firmament showeth his handiwork." And we know what the word firmament means. It says, "Each man is given a measure of passion." When I say passion, I don't think about lust. What in heaven's name is your passion, Kate? What is your passion, Bruce? Johnny, what is your passion? They're all a little different, so to speak. But God put that to work in us so that we would drive and walk out what he intended to begin with in each of our lives. Your destiny is written in glory. Let me promise you, beautiful story of how we're born, what we see before we come here. We choose to put on humanity. You can eat that or don't eat it. I don't care, but I know it. We choose to come here. And we choose to do some things we do. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go down that road. Think about Jesus Christ. He put on a material being to show us that we could do this in this life. That we could walk where he walked constantly in this life. Did he have struggles? Of course he had struggles. He wasn't a happy man when he went into the temple and they were buying and selling. He showed his anger. Did he show passion? Of course he showed passion. Was he honest? He was honest. The Samaritan woman. She said, I'm not married. He said, you said that right. Because you've been married to 5 husbands already. He called a spade a spade. Come on. He didn't say, oh, everything you've done is perfect. He just said, move on and quit doing those things that you're doing. And the one you're with right now, he said, you ain't even married to him. But I'll relate to a lot of people this day and time. Anyway, so we pound things out with our passion. We learn early certain things are important to us from the, you know, little. We watched a baby this morning and he was getting his daddy's shoes, throwing them downstairs. And his mother or somebody was filming him and he was so happy with himself. You know, he's 2 years old or whatever he is. He's got somebody filming it, and he thinks, I'm cute, and this I can do, and I'm going to throw daddy's shoes downstairs for mother to pick up. Anyway, being what he is, he found something that made him happy. That day was throwing the shoes down the steps. So all of us have something that we have a drive for, and that's okay. My husband said sports saved him because he lost his mother early. And he said that all I want to do is play baseball. And how far I had to walk or whatever I had to do, I was going to play baseball. And I loved it. Do you think God's not in that? Come on, folks. The world is full of passion. It's wonderful to see. Each person's journey. However, what are the heavens saying to you? You're heavens. And you are a heaven. You're the only heaven some people's ever going to see in this life. Because they think heaven is a place. Forget it. It's a state of being. That's what it is, and it's an awesome state of being, but it's also a state of being in your reality, in the negative things, when you hurt, when you're going through things that you think, God, where are you? Are you going to lunch, or what is going on today? I mean, I'm missing you, God. Could you just... I tell him sometime, Jesus, I just want to feel you. I want to feel you. I want to feel you like I've never felt you before. Let me feel you, because I don't always feel him. And if you say you do, you're a liar. I invite him. But sometime that feeling or that emotion doesn't come, although I know he's around and alive and well and all those things. Anyway, Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Paul says, "Would to God ye could hear, bear with me a little in my folly." Indeed, bear with me. So all of us have a truth within us. We're learning how to present that truth. And mine's as valid as yours. Do you hear me? And yours is as valid as mine. That's a two-way street. So I love Paul here. He said, just let me speak to you a truth. For I am jealous over you, little g, with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husbandman, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Why in the world does he say a chaste virgin? Aren't all virgins chaste? Of course not. They're not chaste. There were 10 virgins. None of them went in. None of them made it. Don Cooley taught us on this, and I studied. I thought he's a liar. But he was right. None of those 10 virgins made it in. Some did have oil, but they didn't make it in either. So the virgin that keeps herself chaste, that's what he's talking about. Well, I want to teach on that just a little bit here. Okay. The word virgin always means Bethula. And that's one that keeps herself within herself. A virgin means to, she keeps herself separate. And here we've got this word sword again. She knows how to divide things within herself. How do you divide this, Father? Good grief, keep your sword out and ready. Don't draw it, have it drawn. Use it. That's what it's for. I don't mean to kill everybody, but to divide what's going on in your own life. Good grief. And protect if you need it. So she knows how to separate. Her name means separate. Some examples. Genesis 13. Don't you love Genesis? It tells all kinds of little stories. What is it you call them, honey? Allegories to keep us. And I believe that. These stories are not just for people back then. They're life stories for us to live by, of course. Genesis 13. My poor Bible, I wore it out. Okay. I'm going to read a little bit because we need to. And Abram, this is before his name was changed to Abraham. Remember, he went through a change like every great man. Jacob, when he wrestled with that heavenly being, he didn't walk the same anymore. He halted on his thigh. Because he was learning to walk in humanity and in the heavenlies. That's why he halted on his thigh. Just like we should be doing. Okay. Abram went up out of Egypt bondage. He and his wife and all he had. And Lot with him into the south. So they're moving toward desires. When you see south, think of passion. Reuben awakens the passion for mankind to be who God sent them to be. People are going to wake up like you've never seen. Just like they were dividing something on TV this morning. I thought it was awesome. With a little Republican from Florida talking about giving people money, the freebies in the United States, and blah, 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 and all that. And he divided it so perfect. I never heard it that perfect before. How we should be doing this. Not just handouts, but investigating where that money's going, what they're doing, where they're really coming from. And he said people don't need help, but everybody don't need help. Handouts, he said they need education. It's up. Anyway, got way off. And Abram was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. He went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, house of God, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, Mesopotamia, is what he came out of, so to speak. Unto the place of the altar where he had made there at the first, you know, the altar with Isaac. And there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which was with Abram, and had flocks and herds and tents. But the land, for them to be together, was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was so great, so they could not dwell together. And because of the strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. The Ites dwelt in this land. Canaanite is a dust roller. Some people just love him. Well, I'm human, so I don't do anything I want to do any way I want to do it. Love my life. Well, love it till you're puking it straight up. That's all right with me. But there's a division to be made there. The Canaanite, the Persizzite is one that hates any boundaries. Hates boundaries. And that's what the Gadites did. They guarded every perimeter in Israel. It's important to have some boundaries, all of us. Okay. And Abraham says to Lot, please, just don't let there be anything between us. Don't let there be no strife. I pray thee, between me and thee, or between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we're brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you depart to the right, I'll take the left. Lot, you choose. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the well-watered plain of Jordan. He took the best for himself. Okay? Just showing you. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered. So that meant he didn't have to dig no wells like Abraham and his people did. They dug wells for water, and there was bloodshed over those wells. And everywhere before the Lord, it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed toward the east. Well, that's kind of going backwards, isn't it? The sun rises in the east, sets in the west, and our march ought to be toward the west. Come on. But these eastern religions want to take people over and just captivate their mind. And they've been there a long time. All these eastern religions, all these attitudes and spirits. Do you think God's not aware? Of course he's aware. And they separated themselves one from the other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, humanity, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Okay. I looked up Sodom, and before I looked it up, I almost knew what it meant. Sometimes, you know, spirit will whisper something to you, and then you know the scripture, or you know there is a scripture. I got a concordance, so I hunt. I do a thing called study, for me. Well, for you too, if I got something you can eat. I don't cut it up so too good sometime or chew it for you. I think you're big enough to do that. Chew your own food. You're big enough to cut it up too. Anyway, Sodom means the land of just scorching. I said, Father, it smote me. It's the very same thing that Ham's name means. Just sear it with iron. Don't let it steam and all the wrinkles get out, but just scorch it from the outside. It's the same word as pig. Don't eat that parted the hoof, but cheweth not the cud. That means it ain't inside of you. Oh my God, it has to be within us. That without thing don't mean a lot. It's how we really feel deep in this heart about things. Anyway, I won't go to all those scriptures because you know them. Separate. It means to take the seed. Remember, a sower went forth to sow in Matthew 13, and he broadcasted the seed. Just put it out there. Just put it out there. You don't know where it's going to land. You don't know how it's going to touch or not touch. That's not up to you. Just feed them. Jesus said, Peter, just feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. That's what it's about. Just feed with your life. And it don't mean running up and down the street preaching either. Of course, if you have mind to do that, that's okay with me. I don't care. That's not the way I want to live my life. I'd rather preach to my five children, my husband, so to speak, by living a life around them that bespeaks the Son of the Most High God. And it's real. I'm not something up here floating around. I'm in flesh and blood. You can see me, touch me. You can have a relationship with me if you want it. That's reality. So Lot chose the ego, the easiest way for himself. What's the easiest way? It's not always the best way, folks. I know that. And sometimes we all sit down and choose an easy way for a moment. But then we pick it back up and say, this is my responsibility. Time to get up. Time to do this. Yes, we put it in shoe leather. So Lot chose the easiest way. He didn't want anything dealt with inside of him. Nothing. He liked the scorching. Just scorch me and make people think. that the iron of the Holy Spirit has touched my life and measured out all those seams that you get when you use a steam iron. You'll get all of those wrinkles and everything out. You can hang a garment up and just steam it. They'll just fall out. But it's dealt with. Every wrinkle is dealt with. Do you hear me? And it's awesome. It's a good dealing. To me, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Father, of all of us, He is our breath and life, chooses to have a relationship with us. And then gives me an ability to choose too. He never said, I'm going to make you. I want you to. I hunger for it. But you got your life is yours. And I give it to you. You make the choice. Boy, does that make you responsible for every breath you take. And anybody around you, it makes you responsible. Respondability. How do I respond to that? How do I even believe that? I mean, that gets heavy and scary, and I'm going, better send somebody to help support me, because I can't carry that beam. It's pretty much. Anyway, Lot's name means to veil. Do we not sing that song? Take this veil off my face. Let all death now be erased. It means to be wrapped up in oneself. I thought, dear Lord, I know this is the truth. Your own thoughts and opinions, refusing to hear anything else. I thought, Father, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. Well, then I got to thinking about the movie that Burt Reynolds was in, and he was drowning out there somewhere. God, if you'll save me, I'll give you 90% of everything I am or own. He'd get closer to the shore, and he'd be 50%, 60%, until it got down to, you know the story. And it's the same thing that Lot did. He's just choosing these ways. Just bail me out. Be a God that scorches me. But don't you mess with my thinking or my feelings. Don't you touch them. Oh, come on, folks. He's sacred. He wants all of you. From beginning to the end. Gomorrah. That means to heap up riches for oneself, just for personal gain. To heap up ruins, choosing a ruined heap of materialistic living. My Lord, folks, I don't think any of us have been privileged to do that. God's been good to us. We do eat and have nice places to live. So, a relationship cost us something. All of us. It cost. But it's a beautiful cost, a price we can pay. Like we're doing in this little group, just coming together, not looking to build or tear down. Not. It's never been my thought. Or looking for God to pour personal riches out on me. Of course, if they came, I don't think I'd say no, but... Anyway, be nice. My poor husband broke his back for years working. And so, anyway. So, relationship costs something. I love Garth Brooks' song. He says, you blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots at your black tie fair. Don't you love it? He said, that's where my roots are. Ruth heard me singing that. She said, you're singing country music? I said, all the time. She said, my folks wouldn't even let me listen to it. I thought, my Lord, if you put something in a bubble, you know, country music tells you a story. Lots of music does if you listen to the words. In the arms of an angel. I mean, who don't know that song is sacred? Some of these songs come out of the heavenlies. Even those low life things. This song, blaming on what was the name of it? Friends in Low Places. Hello, I had friends in low places too. And I love it. I love it and I'm proud of it. I don't care if they are in low places. I can fellowship a woundedness, a hurtness, whatever you dish out, I can fellowship that. Because we're real. It's reality. I'm done. I think I wore this thing out, Karen.